Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come?
More sad news to report. If you haven't heard, Chris Cornell has died. The Soundgarden frontman was found dead last night, hours after the band played a show in Detroit. The Associated Press is reporting the medical examiners ruled his death a suicide. Charles R. Cross is an author and a former editor of the Seattle magazine The Rocket, and he's known Chris Cornell for how long did you know him, Charles?
30 years.
30 years. What do you know about what happened?
Well, I don't know about what happened in Detroit other than what I've read online. And the weird part is that's actually the first Soundgarden music I've heard today. You know, woke up, saw the text, and now to hear that voice and to hear that music again, it's just so devastating. You know, this is the second saddest day in Seattle music history, the first, of course, being in April of 1994. But to even get to the studio, I have to drive by the apartment building that Lane Staley died at. Mm. So if you add Lane, Kurt, Chris, Andy Wood, who died of unintentional drug overdose, who was Chris Cornell's roommate, we're talking about a pretty long, sad legacy of death, addiction, and suicide in Seattle music.
Death, addiction, suicide, music, Seattle. Like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a legacy. What do you make of that?
Well, and it's not all that. You know, I knew Chris pretty well. I bet I interviewed him 20 or more times over the years, saw Soundgarden at some of their very first shows. A lot of the discussions that when he and I talked were about addiction, death, losing Andy Wood, losing Kurt Cobain, losing Lane Staley. These were heavy losses for him to bear. Yet he and Soundgarden were not just about that. We're playing Black Hole Sun and Fell on Black Days. There's a lot of melancholy in their songs. That's part of what his personality was. But that's not the only thing. Soundgarden was also a very celebratory band. When they first came out, they were sort of routinely criticized as being Led Zeppelin clones. Chris performed almost universally with his shirt off. He has better pecs than I do. Which is saying a lot. Mm. And he had incredible hair. And he frankly had one of the greatest voices that any Seattle rock star has ever had.
Yeah, to the point, on KUOW's Facebook page, Ted wrote, Soundgarden was the one that just rocked out. They were more like a new school heavy metal band versus Nirvana, Pearl Jam, etc. Where do you put that?
Absolutely. Soundgarden early on were metal, you know, and also people forget a few parts of Soundgarden's history. First, Seattle band signed to a major label from that era. They were on three labels before they became famous. They were on SST, Sub Pop, and finally on A&M. They also broke through later than any of those other bands, which people also forget. They're the first of those bands to start to begin, but they don't really break through until 1994. Even when Nirvana took off and Pearl Jam, Soundgarden was not selling boatloads of records until the release of their incredible Super Unknown album. And that took off and made them the biggest band in the land for a while.
I know this is the first you're hearing of their music today since you found out. I just want to hear a little more music. You mentioned Black Days, Fell on Black Days off of Super Unknown.
We got to stop playing this. Unfortunately, that song and some of this, it's a little too real to some degree, because the lyrics of this song and so much of what Soundgarden's music about is this story sort of today. It feels really raw to listen to that. You know, everybody has a darkness inside them that they don't always show. And one of Chris's gifts as a singer was that you could hear that. When he opened his mouth, you could hear that darkness. And that's one of the reasons people related to him. And that's one of the reasons Soundgarden had so many fans, is that his voice has that melancholy in it. if you were singing Happy Birthday. It's just part of the gift that he had as a singer.
Talking with Seattle music writer Charles Cross, you know, sometimes we talk about a rock and roll icon commits suicide, and we just put this fable onto it that we think we know. But human beings kill themselves sometimes, and I also want to talk about, did you know what he was struggling with? Do you know whether he was getting help? Do you know whether the Seattle music scene was, you know, putting their arms around
him? Yes, yeah. yes. But, you know, you mentioned the story. 30,000 people in America kill themselves in a given year. The number of people who suffer from depression and struggle with addiction is you know, almost a majority of our society these days. There are resources. They don't always work. They don't always help. We don't know what somebody goes on inside their own mind at a given time. Chris was open at talking about that he'd had some struggles with drugs over the years. He was open in talking about having struggles with depression. These are not secrets that are coming out today. This is not necessarily a news story. This is a tragedy that happens every day in America. When a rock star dies, then people suddenly become aware of it. But if 30,000 people are dying, it's an epidemic in this society, and it needs to be something we more normalize.
Beautifully said. Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit more before we go about music. You mentioned, we've said a little bit about this, but I just want to bring it home. What do you think Chris Cornell did for the Seattle music scene?
Well, he really is where everything sort of began. Soundgarden's really the first band of that era. I was editor of a magazine called The Rocket. We worked out of Belltown. Soundgarden began in Belltown. I saw some of those early shows. I'm not exactly sure of the statistics, but I'm almost positive that Soundgarden was on the cover of The Rocket more than any other band. So you have the local music magazine. Soundgarden is covered more than any other band. But it was a long time we were screaming about how great they were before anybody else in the rest of the world paid attention. They were an unbelievably dynamic live band in the late 80s. They were incredible live. Not just Chris's singing, Kim Thiel's guitar playing, Ben Shepherd's bass playing, Matt Cameron's drumming, who drums in Pearl Jam as well. They were incredible live band. They were almost more of a Seattle band than any of these other bands. Nirvana was from Aberdeen. Eddie Vedder came in from San Diego, but joined guys in Seattle. But Soundgarden was Seattle. This was the most Seattle of any Seattle band, in my argument.
And what do you think Chris Cornell's legacy is outside of this city? What do you think he'll be remembered
for? Well, incredible legacy. Not only did he perform with Soundgarden, he also did the Temple of the Dog album, which is one of the greatest honors to anybody that ever died. The weird part is his greatest artistic work is Temple of the Dog. And that's an album of a song suite he did for his roommate, Andy Wood, who died. So in some ways, it's his same. He did it for Andy, but in some ways, it also speaks very deeply about Chris's death, and that's what I guess I would want to go to musically. But remember, Chris was also an Audio Slave, which was a huge band on his own. Yep. He had a successful solo career. The shows he played, I think it's last November at the Paramount, the two Temple of the Dog shows, the hardest ticket to get in Seattle music history. I mean, that was the hardest ticket there ever has been to any show ever in Seattle. And that shows you the fact that even 30 years after his career began, he commanded that kind of respect among Seattle music fans. It's no great exaggeration to say that, you know, Chris Cornell will be deeply missed by people in Seattle who loved his music, but his musical legacy will last far beyond Seattle fans.
Charles Cross, author, former editor of the Seattle magazine, The Rocket. Again, Chris Cornell died last night, age 52, best known for Soundgarden, Temple of the Dog, Audio Slave. The medical examiner has ruled that a suicide. KEXP will have a memorial and a moment of silence at their radio station today at Seattle Center. That's open to the public, and it starts at 5 o'clock. I want to leave the last word to Ari, who on our Facebook page says, my dad would have 107.7 The End playing on the way to the Stillaguamish River summer afternoons. I have distinct memories of My Wave playing as we cross one of the bridges over the Stilly and Oso, the river sparkling and the sun shining. These are soundtracks of our childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. I believe they have a profound influence on the people we are today. Charles Cross, thank you for this.
Thank you. I just cannot friggin' believe it. I just can't believe it.
You're listening to KUOW. I just want to remind you that there is help, the National Suicide Hotline. We've unfortunately said it many times, 800-273-8255, 800-273-TALK. This is KUOW FM Seattle, KUOW Tumwater, KQOW Bellingham, and Digital HD Services.